Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more.
As a salesperson, if you're relying on a sales engineer or your customer success team to answer technical questions, you're leaving money on the table. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting with an expert about how technical credibility and a knowledge of SaaS metrics will help you close more deals. She's a former neuroscientist turned SaaS startup operator and has 8+ years building ambitious international sales teams. She's absolutely determined to convince the skeptics that sales is not a dirty word. In her current role as head of sales at ChartMogul, she helps top-tier subscription businesses globally grow faster using their revenue data. Think recurring revenue, churn, customer lifetime value. Sarah Archer, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So talk to me about why technical credibility is so important for sales reps today.
Sure. I mean, admittedly, sales has gotten harder over time. And the reason for that is because buyers have more knowledge, more information available than ever before. And so regardless of whether you're selling software or hardware, it's our job as salespeople to help those customers accomplish a key business objective. And in almost every case, whatever you're selling integrates or interacts with other things in that customer's environment. And so as a salesperson, it's really critical that you're credible about how those things interact so that you can help that customer get to their intended outcome. I can give you like a simple example, maybe something we all know about, which is CRMs. Think about selling CRM software. Maybe you work at HubSpot, Salesforce, et cetera. That CRM software, it interacts with tons of other pieces of software. Maybe leads are created programmatically that salespeople are working. Maybe those leads are enriched by integrations through additional technology. Quotes are created, contracts are sent, payments are processed. So if you're selling exclusively that CRM product and features without the integrations at play, you're really missing what it feels like to be the customer and to use all of those things together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And so how can sales reps go and learn and kind of go out and figure out this technical stuff if maybe that's not their background?
Yeah, well, it starts with being like a voracious problem solver. If you really want to help customers and you really want to exceed quota, then you have to deeply understand the environment where a customer lives and how you can help them succeed in that environment. So I think every learner is different. And maybe not all salespeople are excited about being hands-on and building things on their own, but maybe you're very personable and you have built a consensus and colleagues that you can learn from directly, whiteboarding out something like a data model with someone in the office or looking over someone's shoulder and saying, what the heck is in those dev docs? Like, give me the 411. And so if interpersonal skills are your strength, that's a place you could start. But if you are ready to go ahead and try building something on your own, it doesn't have to be code or integrations or APIs. It can be something as simple as like building a net new Zapier workflow where you're saying, if this happens, then do that. And it can be really satisfying to build things that solve problems, especially if it's something you've been intimidated by before.
Mm-hmm. And what do you recommend for kind of specific to that market? So we're putting yourself in the shoes of that of the ICP to understand what environment they would be working in. Obviously, that's going to differ. Not everyone has the same tech stack, but some variation on similar problem solving that the tools do. So how do you learn about them specifically, what they might be using, and kind of get in that space?
Well, the best customer research starts with talking to customers. So asking them, you know, what other tools do you interact with? And if you have the luxury of being able to work with customers, is to actually see what they're doing at their desks. What applications are they opening on their computer? you know, do they have deep links from one system to another? You can also look at their job specs. That's another great place to see, okay, if they're hiring a head of finance or a head of customer success, are there specific tools or technologies that are referenced? Or you could be super scrappy and, you know, inspect their website and look at their CTAs and then open up the console area to see, oh, it looks like they're using Stripe as a payment processor. And then you can sort of tailor your messaging to say, I don't just want to sell you on a value proposition. I want to sell you on a functional value proposition because I'm intimately aware of the technology that people like you interact with. And things are going to work. I'm promising you a solution that's functional, that's well integrated, that is seamless, not just, it flies, it jumps, it hops on one foot.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about the opening up the console thing. Like if somebody is interested in doing that and would like the kind of quick step-by-step, what would they do?
So if you've been selling software long enough, when you hit a website, you see the Drift bot, you know, oh, that's they're running Drift or, oh, they're running Intercom. But what you can actually do is just right click on your mouse and say inspect. And you can do sort of a keyword search, just like a control find. And you can say, control find Stripe, control find HubSpot. And it'll just look through that console code. And I'm probably not even articulating it as well as I might should. But, you know, just being scrappy and curious will lead you to running searches and investigating things on your own, which I think is just key for any problem solver in sales. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. And then what are kind of the upper limits of the technical knowledge that one should have? Because it's not their kind of key job function in the end as a salesperson.
Yeah, I think like most things, it depends. Our team prides ourselves on being technically credible, but not necessarily technically capable. When you think about how things integrate or work together, there's a lot of like no code technology where things are sort of click to configure, and our sales team can navigate that pretty well. But when we start looking at client libraries and code, that's when we pull in someone to help navigate that conversation. But it also depends, Sarah, very much on the kind of buyer that you have. So for example, I sell almost exclusively to B2B SaaS founders who in most cases have created their own SaaS application. And so with that group, I can't feign that I can write Ruby. And so that requires me then to be an expert on exactly what my software does, what it delivers, and how folks use it. So the sales skills there are table stakes. The technical credibility is sort of icing on the cake, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's even more vital if you're selling to a technical persona, but it's less important for you to know exactly how it achieves what it achieves. If you're selling to like, I don't know, a VP sales, maybe if we're talking about this, going back to the CRM example, if we're selling HubSpot to maybe like a non-technical CMO, because maybe it's a MarTech CMO, like we'll leave them out, a non-technical CMO or non-technical VP sales. Just understand how exactly it'll fit into their world and their environment and how to do that seamlessly. That's your kind of number one job there, but then expanding that knowledge beyond for technical people.
For sure. And I think in your VP of sales example, right? For repeat VPs of sales who have implemented CRMs before, what they're really looking for is also guidance to avoid potential pitfalls. And so I think this is an important sales skill where it's like, maybe you implemented Salesforce 3 or 4 years ago, but the developer that helped you set up that integration from your website to your CRM, he doesn't work at the company anymore, and that integration isn't documented. So now that VP of sales is sort of stuck with something that it's sort of magical. They're not sure how it works. And so I think as you get these sort of repeat buyers who have purchased technology before, they're actually more acutely aware of the technical pitfalls and best practices. And so when, as a seller, you don't have, when you can't articulate that, they might lose patience with you, which is what I've seen in the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense. And when we're talking about technical knowledge, and right now we're talking about salespeople kind of as a whole, but there are some schools of thought, and it was even in the predictable revenue model when it originally kind of came out in the book, that the prospector doesn't need to have this degree of technical knowledge because they should be able to sort of have these quick conversations and as quickly as possible hand off the conversation to that AE. So how do you feel about the SDR in terms of this technical credibility?
Well, I think it depends firstly on your ACV. When you have a large enterprise ACV, a longer sales cycle, and more touch points, it's probably okay that SDR or BDR has limited technical knowledge. But if the goal of the sales cycle is to get the customer to their intended outcome fast and to reduce friction, be really frustrating for you if I asked you multiple times during the discovery process to explain how you process payments. Mm-hmm. So I think, maybe in that case, it's okay. I guess what I would challenge my SDRs or BDRs with is, don't you see this knowledge helping you elsewhere in your career? So maybe it's not integral, and maybe it's not even a part of your training, but is it extracurricular that you can learn how to build a Zapier workflow to automate some of your outreach practices? Because now you've built something, it helps you be more effective at your job, and you have a story of a skill you can take onto your sales ops interview or your AE interview, which I think coupled with great revenue results is something competitive to offer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And in the case of your BDRs, and kind of when we're talking about this, like the upper limit of where they should, what they should understand in terms of technical stuff, is there a certain type of question that you would say like the SDR shouldn't answer and should try to push, off to the next person? Or do you think that they should be able to answer anything?
They should be able to go find the answer to most things, but they probably shouldn't answer questions about structuring data for integrations, rate limits, and basically the way APIs behave. I would say I expect them to be able to answer questions about how the data model is and what data is required to succeed in using the product or to succeed in using the integration. But how to configure it is a different story altogether.
Right, makes sense. And how do SaaS metrics come into the equation with salespeople and technical credibility?
Yeah, I mean, I said at the beginning of our conversation that sales gets harder and harder. And I believe that, not just from a technical perspective, but salespeople are also required to be maybe even more strategic. And so, SaaS metrics, when we talk about unit economics, it's really helping the customer understand, okay, well, you're going to make this purchase decision. It's going to be an evaluation of cost and value. And how do I quantify value? Well, I can quantify value in different ways. I can do it in a really simple, matter-of-fact way. Like if I spend $50,000 to attend a trade show, am I going to get $50,000 in bookings back? Maybe. It could be more complex than that because I could have to take into account varying factors like, okay, well, what if I get $50,000 in bookings, but then half of that churns in the first 3 months? And so this is where I think that salespeople can be increasingly strategic when working with executives to say, okay, well, help me understand what you really mean by ROI and help me understand what metrics of success are important when you evaluate this decision. So maybe that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you give me an example of what some of those SaaS metrics might be?
Yeah. So I would probably, if you're not familiar with the concept of customer lifetime value or cost of acquisition or payback period, these are all things that you can familiarize yourselves with. It's important to understand, whenever you have a deal, it's important to understand, of course, what your customer does, how they make money, and then how they think about how they make money. And so, you know, if you take an example of someone that sells like somewhat of like a lower ACV product, like Typeform, right? So it's a Typeform. It's like I can buy monthly and I can cancel at any time. So if I'm selling to a business like this, then I have to consider, okay, well, they might have more volatility than a customer that sells big, large annual contracts. And so now I'm looking through that lens, through that perspective of how my buyer's unit economics work to help them say, okay, well, if you're going to buy this product for me, it's going to help you in this way. And then, you know, sort of further articulate the ROI within the context of the customer's business.
Okay. So kind of defining the SaaS metrics are what you use to kind of define the ROI for them in a way that makes sense for them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a reason that sales methodologies like Medic have that M for metrics, right? Mm-hmm. And so that M could be, you know, any number of things. And SaaS metrics is really the tool to unlock what that M, that metrics piece means in the context of the customer's business.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Absolutely. And tell me about the impact of when, speaking about all the things we've talked about today so far, so the technical credibility piece and understanding these SaaS metrics, what is the impact when salespeople do this well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big fat claim, right? Like the idea is that the sales skills are table stakes, but the more you can layer on top of that, the technical credibility, the true understanding of SaaS metrics and economic buying, the better your results are going to be as a salesperson. So that could be at the top of the funnel in creating more pipeline because you're better able to see exactly how the different components work together within a customer's business. Or it could be a higher win rate because economic buyers and customers, champions across the board say, man, they really understand our business and how this will impact our business. So, you know, I learned in my 3 years at ChartMogul that the difference between a good and a great commercial hire was truly hiring technically credible people. And when we hired our first technical sales rep in Western Europe, the results were like pretty immediate because they were going in and building things and helping customers solve problems that got them faster to their immediate results. And so every quarter this person has been here, the non-North American revenue has just been up and up every quarter. And so that's just a testament to the fact that that person's voracious problem solving and their technical credibility has helped customers and helped our business, and then of course help that individual succeed professionally and economically.
Yeah, it makes sense. When we're thinking about kind of the entire customer journey, it makes sense that as the buying process gets more technical and everybody gets more technically savvy to some degree, just by virtue of like the information that we have at our fingertips, it makes sense that you want to make the customer journey less frictionful by making it sort of like technical throughout, rather than it being this kind of like weird non-technical relationship driven thing where you're saying like, no, trust me, it'll work technically. And they're like, but how? I'd love some proof before I pay. It makes sense that, yeah, you're kind of, smoothing that transition kind of between, I guess, the technical purchase and then having the technical product after that. Yeah, absolutely makes sense.
It just gets worse, right? Like meaning the prevalence of these like no code tools and these like build it yourself things are so everywhere on the internet that the people that want to solve problems can solve them. And so that and the emergence of like larger businesses implementing this product-led growth or this free trial means that customers are experiencing how the product delivers faster than we can modulate the conversation. And so by the time the customer has already tried those things on for size and they do or don't work, it's up to you to explain why. It's definitely a different ballgame when you're operating in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, this has been super interesting. Love talking all the way through what you need in terms of technical credibility, where to go find it, how to be that kind of self-driven learner and have that work for you in this role, in whatever future role. It's just something that a sales rep in this space should have in their tool belt. And then of course the SaaS metrics and working those in, weaving those into to kind of your success as a salesperson. If people want to learn more from you, Sarah, if they want to get in touch with you, where can they do that?
You're welcome to email me directly. It's just Sarah, S-A-R-A at chartmogul.com. Or I'm active on LinkedIn and Twitter to a lesser extent. But I'd be happy to chat more about this. And I'm hiring salespeople and sales engineers right now. So if this is the kind of environment where technical SaaS sales is something of interest, you should call me.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll make sure to include, if you've got like a link to your hiring pages or anything like that, we'll include that in here so that if people are listening and they're like, you know what, this is me. I've been working, I've been practicing my zaps, my workflows, and I'm ready to move into a role like this. Perfect. Yeah, thank you so much, Sarah. Great having you. And thank you to all of you guys for joining us for another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Please, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button on YouTube so that you can be notified each week as we bring on great guests to talk about great things in the sales space like Sarah Archer this week. Thanks again, guys. We'll catch you next time.